the teaching tonight is going to be who will exalt you? And that's a question for all of us. We get a choice on whether we're going to exalt ourselves or whether Yahweh and Christ will exalt us. And that's, this is life. And we'll come back to Melania's prophecy. Because a ball started rolling with Elijah's teaching about Yahweh created, he's the king, here this is. Dad did a teaching about the haughty. The first would be last, the last would be first. We're used to these things, these teachings, but it really got a lot of momentum in me. And then I kept listening to the Bible each day. It was like Yahweh kept giving me more and more and more, the same thing. Isn't that neat when he does that? It's the same thing. He keeps going with a conversation. And all of a sudden, like, wow, isn't that wonderful to have a living God like that?
Yeah.
That has enough time to speak and communicate to us. As a father, or as a son, I don't have enough time to spend with my family here. I have problems with guilt. Oh, how am I going to be with my family? How am I going to do all this? But Yahweh's always got time. And he spends it with us. I mean, how wonderful is that? But the teaching tonight is your choice, my choice, of who is going to exalt you each day. Well, is success going to be how many followers you have on Facebook? How many likes you have? Could be. And some people are very famous. And it could be likes or Facebook or whatever these things are. It could be voted prom queen, prom king. Right? It could be America's Got Talent, whatever it is. You get exalted, and who doesn't want a parade? I just watch I Spy. Kenny Robinson parade! Yeah, I float down like a jelly bird. Alright, I'm gonna have a parade. I want to have a parade. And then here's this whole thing about this character. Wants to be what? Exalted. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be exalted, because I believe that Yahweh created inside of us a desire for this, and then it comes back to our choice. But it's up to us how we will be exalted. And so before we get started with that thing, the reality of our situation. What is the reality of your situation, our situation? Here's the reality of our situation. Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, created everything. It's His. He's the King. That's it. Alright? And He created us. Why?
What?
To serve Him. It's the purpose of our existence. A satellite that does not face the planet it was supposed to be facing is a useless satellite. Get rid of it. It's space trash. We were meant to orbit. We were created to orbit Yahweh in Christ Jesus. Your existence and my existence is to serve Him. But we have freedom of will. He gave it to us. And we can choose to serve ourselves or to serve Him. That's Romans 6 goes over that. Melania's prophecy about having an anchor is so important. An anchor. If you don't have a reason to be obedient, the odds of your success is a lot less likely. Especially when you go through tribulation. People go into war. They're going to war with a picture of a loved one. They're going to war. I'm going back home. I'm going to make it to go see my kids. I promised my wife I'm going to see her again. We saw 12 Strong. And the guy took a picture of his kids. And he promised his wife he's coming back. He went in with an anchor to sustain him. And Yahweh tells us that Christ endured the death of the cross. How? The anchor that he had that was set before him that he reflected on over and over and over again. And did he work? Did it work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it worked. He's our prototype. So here's Melania's, and it's for all of us each day. And we have to have an anchor. Otherwise, guess what we're going to do? We're going to serve ourselves, mm-hmm. and we're going to exalt ourselves. It's my day. I deserve it. So we'll start off. Let me see here. Okay, I guess before we start off, I'm going to kind of bring everybody up to where I am. What day was man created on?
Six.
What day was the beast created on?
Six.
Six. Both created on the same day. Yahweh created man in His image, but it was up to man to decide whether to live like a beast or to live like a son of Elohim. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's us created on the same day. And here's Adam and Eve. What are you going to do? Are you going to live like an Elohim or are you going to live like a beast? Now, it would look like when you're created by Yahweh, He told you what to do. It looks like He's in the throne. Ha ha, King, serve me, do this. Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? Christ is now at the right hand of Yahweh running everything, and it feels like we're doing all the work, we're running around, He's in His throne, right? That is our image of a king from a beast's perspective. From a beast perspective, like an animal, like the son of Adam, the son of Cain, that's what kind of ruler and king a beast would be. Who gave more on this planet? What human gave more than anybody on this planet?
Yahushua,
Jesus Christ. Did anybody outgive Him? Not a human. But was more difficult for the son to lay down His life or for a father for 6,000 years know that his son was going to be tortured to death?
Yeah.
In hope of a resurrection. Who gave more?
Father.
The father to watch that. Golly, can you imagine watching your daughter being tortured to death, then nailed to a cross? Why? To save your son? I wouldn't want to watch that. No, just tell me when it's over. Here's Yahweh. And you go, who gave more? Yahweh did. Yahweh created man, and Yahweh worked. 6 days He worked. And we tell people, you were meant to work. You were designed to work.
Yeah.
And Yahweh, when He was even talking to Adam and Eve, guess what He was doing? Working. You guys get to work, I work. It's a family business. And so the whole image, that even when we go back to the Garden of Eden, it would appear from one perspective, Yahweh's doing whatever He wants. He's out golfing, sitting on a throne. Adam and Eve are supposed to get this whole earth together, right? And who preyed upon that?
Yeah.
The adversary. And what happened was, Adam and Eve got a choice to say, obey Yahweh or listen to the serpent. And what they did is they acted like beasts, and guess what happened? They got treated like beasts.
Yeah.
What is a Christian's job? So this would be for a youth. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Anybody know that one?
To serve Yahweh?
Just say, for the love of the Christ.
The love of Christ constrains those having judgments.
One
day, hence they all die, and one half of all die, in order that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for Him who never dies.
I hear here's a reward. Malachi's, but you might be able to wager this. What's the purpose of your existence? He died for us that we would live for Him. We owe it to Him. It's the purpose of our existence. To Christ and Yahweh. Christ is our mediator. That is our existence. What is the purpose of each day? To serve Yahweh and Christ. How are we going to do it, right? Okay? Now, also, somebody came to Jesus Christ and says, what is the chief commandment? We know about the 10 commandments. But what's the chief commandment? What did He say? Deuteronomy 6:4-5.
Hear, O Israel.
Yahweh is the only man. Yahweh is there for love.
I see your lips moving, but I don't know if she's saying that. The honor system. I'll owe you some more, okay? But here, I'll give you some more to remember. Okay, now what is the second great commandment that is likened to the first? Yahweh's first, then what else?
Your
neighbor is yourself. You want to reconcile these things, what you're supposed to do? Yahweh comes first, neighbor is myself. If I don't want it to be done to me, then I shouldn't do it to them. And if they want me to do something that I don't understand, then I reflect and say, what do I really want people to do for me? I would want them to do that for me, so I will do this for them. And that's the purpose of our existence. It's the reality of our situation. 1 Peter 5:5, it's page 242 in the Greek manuscripts, 242.
New Testament, right there.
The Greek. And to know, Christ died for us, Mashiach died for us, so that we live for Him. Which is important because when you're sick, He's sick. He doesn't want you to be sick. You owe it to Him to get yourself healed. You owe it to Him, don't you? Go get yourself healed. I'm sick and tired of you limping. What? I thought this was just me. No, your body is His body. He paid for it. It's almost like somebody, you're driving around a company truck. The truck's not running well. He goes, take it to my shop and get the tires fixed. Well, I don't have all the money. It's my shop. I'll get it fixed. We owe it to Him each day. And with all that, coming back down to knowing that our life is but a vapor. When's Christ coming back? No idea. And we'll tell us. When's the last day we're going to have? How are you going to end your book? What, the ending of Elijah, is it going to be... or Melania, is it going to be daydreaming, ignoring, throwing a tantrum, slamming a door? That's how you ended that day? Me being selfish, ignoring people and focusing on myself? What is it? Each day we get to, how are you going to end that day? When is it going to be over? We don't know. In 1 Peter 5:5, coming back down to who's going to exalt you, Dad read this. Mom, would you read 5 through 6?
In like manner, ye younger men, submit yourselves unto elders. All, however, one towards another, gird on humility, because Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift you up in due time.
He that exalts himself is going to be humbled. You exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. But if you humble yourself, what's going to happen?
Lift it up.
Yahweh will exalt us. He'll lift us up. And so like even with Dad's teaching, all of a sudden, when Dad said it, it's Yahweh's job to exalt us. It's not your job. It's not my job to exalt myself.
Yeah.
It's not your job to exalt it. He takes care of it. He'll do his job if you do your job, right? Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness. Seek ye first his reign and his righteousness, and then all these will be added. What's your job? Seek first his reign. How do we choose where his reign is? Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Ten Commandments. If I'm doing my job, what? He gets to do his job. Yahweh's out working all of us every single day. So is Yehoshua Mashiach. They're doing their job. Are you going to do your job? Your job right here says, humble yourself. Get humble. Trust me, you will be exalted. That's my job. I will exalt you. I'll do my job. You do your job. We don't want to do that, do we? Because a beast doesn't want somebody else. Why would we wait for Yahweh to come humble us or exalt us? We'll exalt ourselves. And this is what happened with the adversary in the Genesis. Because when Yahweh created us, he says, work, get to work, and Yahweh will exalt us. But here's the adversary praying upon him, going, you don't have to wait for Yahweh to exalt you. You can do it now. Exalt yourself now. Don't wait for Yahweh to lift you up. You need an award. You deserve an award. Oh, look at all the work you've been doing. Adam and Eve, look what you did with these trees. Look at these flowers. Look at this work. Where is Yahweh? Where is he? Oh, I don't see him. Do you see him? He's probably taking a nap or something. Can you imagine the serpent? Where is he? Oh, I'm exhausted. I haven't even slept because I've been working, taking care of the elephants and the donkeys. And Eve doesn't know where the sheep went. Yeah, you guys have been working 90 hours a week. You guys need a vacation. Well, no, Yahweh says that he will exalt us. Yahweh knows that he created you in his image, right? Yeah. Just exalt yourself. Do it right now. Really? You can do it right now. Exalt yourself. Do it right now. Give yourself a Kelly Robinson parade. Mm-hmm. Give yourself an award. Okay. Eve was like, whoa, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? He told her what she wanted to hear, and he fed the old man side of her, and she took the bait. She took the bait. And why did the adversary, well, we'll come back to the adversary, and hopefully we have enough time to cover all this. The adversary gave them the same bait that he took. Who was supposed to exalt the shiny one? Mm-hmm. It's Yahweh's job to exalt.
Yeah.
But the shiny one, well, look at me, I'll exalt myself. And they go, you missed it, man. You missed it. And if you do exalt yourself, what's going to happen? You will be humbled. So 1 Peter 5:5, you want to be exalted, Yahweh will exalt you. You can exalt yourself. And you can do it in the short run. You'll get away with it for a little bit. So did Adam and Eve. But you will be humiliated. Because whoever you serve, you're a slave to. Would you like to be a slave to Yahweh who gave his son to you and he exalts you? Or are you going to be a slave to your flesh who's in cahoots with the adversary? So why wait to be exalted when you could do it right now? Why wait to be cool? Why wait to be be blessed, like when you're a teenager, you can be cool right now. Tell people what they want to hear. Be what you need to be. Act like the kids on TV. Wear the right clothes. Say the right thing. Listen to the music. Be a little bit of a rebel. Be smart and charming. You can exalt yourself right now, today only. Get your own group. Get people to surround you. Get a lot of followers on Facebook and Twitter. Do it right now. Oh, hey, I'm going to do that. And you take the bait. We all take the bait. Esther chapter 3 is page 494, which this the teaching is really, the teaching of Esther is going to be on Haman and Mordecai. And so be leery when your brain convinces you it's time to exalt yourself. It could, and it might be Yahweh. But go, wait a minute, if I'm trying to exalt myself, I don't want to be humiliated. I've had that. You ever had a sand sandwich, a literal, ate dirt? Not cool. And today I had somebody come give me an estimate in my house, and here where I was guilty. I won't go into details of what kind of estimate he was giving me. It was a small one. I wasn't expecting. He shows up. I'm trying to do a teaching. Now's not a good time. I open the door. He smells like smoke. I used to be around smokers all the time. Never even noticed. And now I smell. I'm like, oh, that's gross. I don't even know who this guy is. He comes in. His hair is messed up. His hair is messed up. It doesn't look very good. Doesn't look very well kept. He starts talking. Some of his teeth are missing too. And I'm like, I don't even want to be here. I got to go teach. But I haven't done anything. But about 5 minutes into him talking to me, Yahweh, what, you are doing a teaching about humbling yourself, and you just judge that guy within 5 minutes. How do you know that's not Jesus Christ showed up on your door? Oh, he smelled like smoke. Disgusting. Why is he missing teeth? What are you, a meth addict? How do I know he didn't lose his teeth saving somebody's life? And guess what this guy did? I was just like, what a perfect time for this guy to show up. I repent. Well, there's nothing better than me about this person. But there was an old man going, all of a sudden, who was this guy in this time? And I was able to do a 180. And we've talked about the Word. He is a believer. And he has adopted some kids. And he's a neat believer. Then I gave him a prophecy before he left. And I was like, I'm getting ready to do a teaching. This isn't something where Satan shows up on your front step. This is something you got to fight to every day. And if you don't go into your fight with an anchor, you're going to lose most of these. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. Doing a teaching on humility, I'm like, look at this smelly guy. Can you wrap this thing up? I got stuff to do. What if he would have showed up, pulled up in a Mercedes Benz? I'm like, who's this guy? Yeah, I want him to come to my house. What a mess I am. Esther chapter 3, 1 verse 3. 1 through 3. And the king's name is Ahasuerus. So Ahasuerus.
Could you give me that?
Ahasuerus. So we're real short on time, so we'll just go to chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, the king Ahasuerus promoted to power Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and exalted him and placed his seat above all the rulers who were with him. And all the king's servants who were in the king's gates used to bend and bow themselves down to Haman, for so had the king given command concerning him. But Mordecai bent not nor bowed himself down. Okay. And then said the king's servant who were in the king's gate unto Mordecai. And then they go on and go, what's up with you? You're not getting in line. Worship, bow down. That's what worship means, bow down. Worship Mordecai, bow down. He goes, not me. He's not going to do it. Then we'll turn to chapter 4, verse 1. I need some good fast readers. Mom, would you be a good fast reader? And whoever's a good fast reader.
Read what?
We're going to read chapter 4 through 6.
When Mordecai came to know all that had been done, Mordecai rent his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes.
Well, I'll pause there for a second. I'll give you a couple other things. Really neat things about the Paragraph Bible. Paragraph Bible, when I was reading on this, and this is free on www.teliosministries.com. There's a free PDF, the Paragraph Bible. And here's some stuff they're telling about what's going on here with their perspective. It says that when Haman found out that Mordecai was a Jew, he wants to wipe all the Jews out. Okay? And what does he do? He tells the king what he's going to do. Here's these rebellious people, and I'm going to give you this money. And the paragraph Bible says this, about £2 million sterling. I don't know what that was back then. But he goes, where do you get this money? Paragraph Bible says, this was the property that was appraised, the appraisal of the Jews' property. How much property does the Jews have? Go find out. They come back, they go, Jews are worth 3.2 million sterling. Okay, I'll promise the king two million pounds sterling. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like Obama with when he found about our 401ks and IRAs. How much money these guys got? We need to take that over. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
What he also said when they cast lots. Yes?
Actually, do you know Malachi is actually Esther's cousin?
Yeah, I heard that. Yes, that's neat. He also said when they cast lots with their duty, they still do this. We're going to find out a date when they're going to do this. Do you know what the time period, the paragraph Bible said this is? He gets an edict. When are we going to wipe out the Jews? We're going to get an edict. He says 12 months. Always, whenever I read this, I'm thinking a month, 2 months, 3 months, not a year. So this is a year of a simmering pressure pot happening. Mordecai finds out, and that's the beginning of chapter 4, what is Mordecai going to do? And so the king finds out, yeah, how am I going to get the money? Appraise all the Jews' property, we're going to kill them anyways. Okay, I go back to 4 verse 1.
When Mordecai came to know all that had been done, Mordecai rent his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes and went forth into the midst of the city and cried out with an outcry loud and bitter and went in as far as before the gate of the king, for none might enter into the gate of the king clothed with sackcloth. And throughout every province, whithersoever the word of the king and his edict came, was great mourning to the Jews, and fasting and weeping and lamentation. Sackcloth and ashes were spread out for many. So the maidens of Esther and her eunuchs went in and told her, and the queen writhed in great anguish and sent garments to clothe Mordecai and to remove his sackcloth from off of him, but he accepted them not.
Let's pause there for a second. Yahweh exalts who?
The lowly.
The humble. What does Mordecai do? Mordecai's a higher up, covers himself with ash. Think about him walking around with a Dillon's brown paper sack on. That's humiliating. And he says, with an outcry, crying to Yahweh, he falls down. And in my opinion, it's embarrassing. You see somebody falling down, crying out, and then here's when Hadassah finds out, she sends clothes to him, but he's not putting sackcloth on to appeal to her, is he? Because he doesn't take it off. And that, I'm not saying that she's implying that, but she's like, here, get some clothes, what's going on? And he goes, no. I need Yahweh's help. And what does he do? He falls down. I don't care what people think. I'm dropping down on my hands and knees. And what does Yahweh do to those who humble themselves? Go ahead in verse 5.
Then called Esther for Hathach, one of the eunuchs of the king whom he had stationed before her, and charged him concerning Mordecai to get to know what this was and why this was. So Hathach went forth unto Mordecai in the broadway of the city, which was before the gate of the king. And Mordecai told him all that had befallen him, and an exact statement of the silver that Haman had promised to weigh out unto the treasures of the king for the Jews to destroy them. Also a copy of the writing of the edict, which had been given in Shushan to destroy them, gave he unto him to show unto Esther, and to tell her, and to lay charge upon her, to go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hathach came in and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then spake Esther unto Hathach, and gave him charge unto Mordecai. All the servants of the king and the people of the provinces of the king do know that whosoever man or woman shall go in unto the king into the inner court who hath not been called, one is his law to put him to death, saving any to whom the king may hold out the golden scepter, who then shall live. But I have not been called to go in unto the king these 30 days.
Pause there for just a second. Does Mordecai know these rules? Yes. He's a scribe.
Yeah.
She's going, what are you, you're telling me to go kill myself. So here she is. Go tell. What are you talking about? I'm going to die. That's not going to help anybody. dying isn't going to help anybody. And here's what Mordecai says. Go ahead.
And they told Mordecai the words of Esther. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Do not think in thine own soul to escape in the house of the king from among all the Jews. But if thou do indeed hold thy peace at this time, respite and deliverance will be appointed for the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether for a time such as this that thou hast attained unto the royal estate."
We'll pause there for a second. And this is really another thing about the paragraph Bible. He says, he goes, what's Mordecai been doing? And the paragraph Bible also says, he goes, when in the Hebrew text it says fasting, has also implied praying. It's not just going without. They would have been praying, separating themselves. I'm not eating. I'm not worried about my three meals a day. I'm praying and doing everything I can. It's scriptures. And so we've been a lot of praying. What's Mordecai been doing? Spending time with Yahweh. And here he is as a prophet, like a prophet that says, we'll die. Which just makes sense, because who does Haman want dead anyways? Mordecai's first one to go. And then all the Jews. But he comes back and he says, but if you don't, somebody will. And I've always admired that, but I've never seen what the paragraph Bible points out. And they said, it shows that Mordecai believed the scepter shall not depart from Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. It's already been prophesied. The Redeemer's coming. And it will come. But maybe we're supposed to be here. So here's Mordecai going back to the scriptures. It's going to work. Yahweh will get his Redeemer. And Christ will come. Okay, keep going.
Then Esther commanded to answer Mordecai, "Go, gather ye together all the Jews who are to be found in Shushan, fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor day. And I and my maidens will fast so. And in this manner will I go in unto the king, though it is not according to the law. And when I have perished, I have perished."
So what does she do? She humbles herself. She does the same thing. 3 days and three nights without food or drink. I think all of us should do that once. Once in our life. When have you done 3 days and three nights without food or drink? Or try. I tried, I failed. How long did you go? Oh, I went 6 hours. I went 42. Okay, or 36 or whatever. Well, how long could you do it? And that's here she does. What does she do? She humbles herself. And she goes down 3 days and three nights. She goes, you guys be praying too. And she's telling them the fast paragraph Bible says to fast and to be praying too. Go pray. We got work to do. We need Yahweh's help. Humble yourself. Okay?
So Mordecai departed and did according to all that Esther had charged upon him. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on a royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the house of the king, over against the house of the king. And the king was sitting upon his royal seat in the royal house, over against the opening of the house.
We'll pause there for just a second. Now in this court, again, paragraph Bible again, said in this court, they're saying, well, what happened here is she was not supposed to enter in. This would be like a business room. Here's all this business. She's going to come in on a personal matter. It would not be proper for her to bring up something personal, even if she did survive touching the golden scepter. So what does she do? She requests to speak to him privately, which is smart, very smart. So this is what's getting ready to happen. So is she gonna live or is she gonna die? Has anybody ever lived before? Mordecai didn't go, hey, Bob did it once and he survived. No. Esther knows, or Hadassah knows, you're most likely gonna die. Even if I do live, what am I supposed to do? Talk about something. Haman's gonna kill me and all the Jews! In front of the whole courtroom? So she's gonna have a very good way to present this, okay?
And it came to pass when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his eyes. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter, which was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what aileth thee, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? Unto the hall of the kingdom shall it be given thee. Then said Esther, if unto the king it seem good, let the king with Haman come in this day unto the banquet which I have prepared for him. And the king said, hasten ye, Haman, to perform the word of Esther.
Which is very, so there's a lot of really wonderful things that happen here. It used to be, back to the paragraph Bible, what they're saying is, this is a personal matter. We need to discuss it personally. Come to a banquet, which makes a lot more sense. And, hey, we're going to have dinner. That'd be very confusing. She's going to go, Bring Haman too. What is Yahweh doing to us? We know the end of this, right? When I've watched A Night with the King, you see Haman, he looks like the wickedest of the wicked wicked, right? Black haired, nasty looking. What does Satan look like? What does the adversary look like? He looks like Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland. Look at that nice guy. What did Haman look like? He's the hands and feet of who? The adversary. So as far as we know, Haman looks like a great guy. And Yahweh's going to get Haman to show his hands before the king. So, and how is he going to get Haman to show his hand?
And Haman didn't know she was a Jew, right?
Not at this point.
So the king with Haman came in unto the banquet which Esther had prepared. Then said the king unto Esther during the banquet of wine, what is thy petition that it may be granted thee? And what is thy request unto half the kingdom that it may be performed? Then answered Esther and said, as touching my petition and my request, if I have found favor in the eyes of the king, and if unto the king it seemed good to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king with Haman come in unto the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do according to the word of the king.
I can imagine on this first banquet that Esther is, what do I do now? Yahweh will tell us to go somewhere and then not tell us what we're going to do next. Go there and I'll tell you what to do. And it could be, now this is my speculation, that at this banquet Yahweh says, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And what Yahweh is doing is he's giving bait to his enemy. Who's his enemy? Haman's just the hands and feet of Yahweh's enemy. Who's Yahweh's real enemy? The adversary. And what does the adversary want to do? Exalt. Exalt myself. So what Yahweh is doing through Esther, Hadassah, is she is going to get Haman to show his cards. And we're going to see what's going to happen to Haman, okay?
Then went Haman forth on that day, joyful and of a merry heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the gate of the king, that he rose not up nor moved because of him, then was Haman filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and came into his own house and sent and brought in his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman recounted unto them the story of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him to power and how he had advanced him above the rulers and the servants of the king. And Haman said, moreover, Esther the queen did bring in no one with the king into the banquet which she had prepared, saving himself. Yea, moreover, even for tomorrow, I am invited unto her with the king. Yet all this sufficeth me not, for so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the gate of the king.
There's a saying, there's no rest for the wicked. And this goes for Warren Buffett, this goes for George Soros. It looks like they have a wonderful life. They don't, because whoever you submit yourself to, you're a slave. Who is Haman a slave to? The adversary. Is the adversary letting Haman enjoy any of this? No, he's being harassed. Kill Mordecai. I'm not going to enjoy any of this until this guy dies. And it would appear that at this, you can see even Haman going, you got to be kidding me. I got all of this and I got to kill this guy. I can't even enjoy any of this. And they're going to say, kill him. And that is another evidence that Satan is his boss. The same with George Soros. George Soros can't sleep at night. Neither can some of these other wicked ones. Satan's going to kill the Christians. Kill a Christian. Do this. Attack Trump. Do this. And that's their slave act. And that's the same thing with Haman here, okay?
Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends unto him, hey, let them make ready a gallows of the height of 50 cubits. And in the morning, speak thou unto the king that they hang Mordecai thereon. Then go with the king into the banquet joyfully. And the thing seemed good before Haman, and he made ready the gallows. During that night, the sleep of the king fled, and he commanded to bring in the book of remembrance, the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written how that Mordecai had told concerning Bigthana and Teresh, the two eunuchs of the king, guarding the threshold, who had sought to thrust forth a hand upon King Ahasuerus. I don't know how to say
it. Ahasuerus.
Ahasuerus. Then said the king, what honor and dignity hath been done unto Mordecai for this? Then said the king's young men who were administering unto him, well, nothing has been done for him, Then said the king, who is in the court?
We can pause it for just a second. Remember, Mordecai was mourning, wailing, praying. Esther sends for him, go pray, and then after that, Mordecai ends up going back to work, going back to the court. Would you want to go back to the court when all your people are going to get wiped out? I'm not going to want to go back to court and then see Haman where you're humiliated. Can you imagine being a Christian being forced to work in the White House with Obama? But here he goes again. You're like, oh man, but he does. Yeah, because of all this, because Mordecai went back to work and he's in the courts, Haman's like, oh, it's Mordecai. I hate that guy. I really, really hate that guy, right? He sees Mordecai. Because of that, Haman goes, I have to kill Mordecai. And then at the same time, Dad's going to point this out. The king can't sleep. And the number one reason for kings being died, or one of them was being assassinated, you have to reward. You have to exalt whoever saved your life. Make an example. Lift them up. And Mordecai never got it. Never got his reward. If Haman would have saved the king's life, he would have got his reward immediately, right? But here comes, and he goes, we got to exalt this guy. And who's in the court? Here's Haman.
Now Haman had come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king and to hang Mordecai upon the gallows which he had prepared for him. So the king's young men said unto him, lo, Haman's standing in the court. And the king said, well, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man in whose honor the king delighteth? Then said Haman in his own heart, unto whom will the king delight to do honor more than unto me? So Haman said unto the king, as touching the man in whose honor the king delighteth, what, let them bring in royal apparel wherewith the king hath clothed himself, and the horse whereon the king hath ridden, and the royal crown which hath been upon his own head. And let the apparel and the horse be delivered unto the hand of one of the king's rulers, one of the nobles, and so let them array this man, the man in whose honor the king delighteth, and cause him to ride upon the horse through the broadway of the city, and let them proclaim before him, thus and thus shall it be done unto this man in whose honor the king delighteth. Then said the king unto Haman, haste, take the apparel and the horse, just as thou hast said, and do even so unto Mordecai the Jew, who is sitting in the king's gate. Do not let fail a thing of all which thou hast spoken. So Haman took the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai.
As far as we know, Mordecai is still wearing sackcloth and covered with ash. Doing whatever he is doing, this wailing thing. And here comes Mordecai. Get up. Oh, it's you, Haman. Go take a bath. Why do I got to take a bath? Here's your clothes. Underneath of the paragraph Bible also pointed out with David and Jonathan. Jonathan gave some clothing to David, and they said this was a custom to give somebody you really cared about something you've worn. Here's my hat. Here's my shoes. And so that's what Haman wanted. Me and the king, we're one and the same, all right? And what's going to happen is, who's going to be exalted here?
What?
Mordecai. And what's he doing? He's humbling himself. And what does Yahweh do? Da-da-da! And who's going to be humbled? Haman wants everybody in the town to go, I'm the guy. He's trying to exalt himself just like his boss, right? And what's going to happen to Haman? He's going to be humiliated. And he will be dead. But this is the most humiliating thing that could ever happen to him. It was just the opposite. And that is what Yahweh does. Who exalted Mordecai?
Yahweh.
It's his job to exalt you too, and me. And when we humble ourselves, you can just see how Yahweh just reversed that. He ends up saving all the Jews. In verse 12, it's so funny. Then Mordecai returned to the gate of the king, but Haman hurried unto his own house, mourning with a covered head. And that's how he goes home, and he can't believe this is his worst nightmare ever. He's humiliated. Yahweh tells you, exalt yourself, you will be humiliated. Is that what you want? Well, no, I want to exalt myself on a shoreline, but I'd never want to be humiliated. Because there's only one way to be exalted without that kind of humiliation. That's humbling yourself, which is obedience to Yahweh. But anyways, you can read later on a neat thing, chapter 9, verse 4, or the end of chapter 9, verse 3, the second part. I'll read to speed things up. For the dread of Mordecai had fallen upon them, since great was Mordecai in the house of the king, and his fame was going forth throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai went on waxing great. then the closing of this book, chapter 10, verse 2, but all the acts of his authority and his might and the clear story of the promotion of Mordecai, wherewith the king promoted, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Medes and the Persians? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus and became great among the Jews and accepted by the multitude of his brothers, seeking happiness for his people and speaking peace to all his seed. Yahweh exalted Mordecai. Mordecai probably didn't even want it. Where was David when Samuel was looking for the new king?
Yeah, that was the sheep.
Where's his brothers? David was humbly babysitting sheep. Humbled.
Yeah.
Here's who did Yahweh pick? David. The babysitter. The guy out there that died. Where was Gideon when Yahweh says, you're the one? I'm the least of the least, man. Wrong address. You're it. What did Saul say when he was picked? No, I'm the least of the least. That's what I want. I want humble. And that's what he wants with each one of us. And he wants to see how much he can trust us with. Because if he gives us too much, we're going to end up just like Haman if we're not careful. I mean, not completely like Haman. We'll exalt ourselves. And I've been there. I've learned those lessons the hard way. I got cocky. Look at me. And Yahweh said that to Nebuchadnezzar. He goes, Nebuchadnezzar, through Daniel. Daniel humbled himself when he prayed three times. That's not exalting yourself, setting yourself up for a death sentence. That's humbling. An 80-year-old man thrown into the lions. Is that how you want to go out? Oh, yeah, he was eaten by lions. Great. I'm lion scat. That's it?
Yeah.
All right, but he humbled himself to Yahweh. Humble yourself to man, humble yourself to Yahweh. But what happened then? Nebuchadnezzar, turn from your ways. And maybe Yahweh will preserve, there'll be a preservation to your prosperity. And Nebuchadnezzar comes out and looks at all he did. He goes, is this not the Babylon that I made? And in my opinion, he's thinking, I can rebuild it. I've done that. I can do this again. And guess what happened to him? But at least Nebuchadnezzar turned around. Where was Joseph? Talk about a humility. And who exalted Joseph? Yahweh exalted. Where was Moses? He's an 80-year-old shepherd. He went from palace and here he is counting sheep. I wonder if I got enough goats to retire. Oh no, and then a goat's missing. I gotta go. He's got two sons. How am I gonna run this? How am I ever gonna retire? I wonder if my kids will take over my goat business, my sheep business. He's out there. Humble. And then we turn to Peter. I never thought about this until I was doing this teaching. Peter says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. What do you think the Sadducees and the Pharisees would have said? Come follow me. They'd be like, it's about time. You're late. That's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees would have said. And I think a lot of pastors today would say the same thing. Where are you? I'm waiting for your phone call, man. Oh, as you're sitting in front of your huge stage with all your props and your music and all the rest of these things. And that could be your call to do that. But it does look like you're exalting yourself. But I could be wrong. But the thing is, are you humbling yourself? And if you are exalting yourself, it would make sense. You're the type of person who doesn't want to be exalted. If Yahweh takes away, he doesn't want it. I'm going to exalt you. I don't want this. Perfect. That's who I want. I want to exalt somebody who doesn't want it. So all the attention goes right back to who's supposed to be exalted, which is Yahweh. Turn to Isaiah 14:14. I did not write a page down for this. At page 660. And when we look at who Haman worked for, who does George Soros work for, who does Barack Obama work for, we know who they work for. They're anti-Christ. They hate Christians. You're going to say, we know you work for them. We know they don't sleep at night. They don't have any. Can you imagine Barack Obama? 2 Nobel Peace Prize. I've been voted in twice. He's just like Haman. I bet you he can't sleep at night unless he's harassing the Christians. He has no, because his boss is tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. What's his boss doing? When's Christ coming back? Has anybody cracked that code yet? Can you imagine him with his demons or whatever? Somebody cracked this. When's Christ going? We have no idea. 14 verse 12. Isaiah. This is talking about the adversary. How hast thou fallen from heaven, O shining one, son of the dawn? Hewed down to the earth, O crusher of nations. Yet thou didst say in thy heart, the heavens will I ascend, above the stars of El will I lift up my throne, that I may sit in the mount of the assembly. In the recesses of the north I will mount on the hills of the clouds. I will match the Most High. Howbeit to Hades or shalt thou be brought down to the recesses of the pit. You will be humiliated. And the adversary, it begins humiliation starting in Genesis 3, Galatians chapter 6, page 195 in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, page 195, it says, be not deceiving yourself. Yahweh is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, whatever you plant, the same will you also reap. If you sow pride, if you sow self-exaltation, if you exalt yourself, what are you going to reap? Humiliation. And we choose that every single day. That's why we go into war with an anchor. If you sow humility, which is obedience to the word, what will you reap? You'll be lifted up. And it's Yahweh's job to lift us up. It's our job to serve Him. We were born to serve Him, to orbit Him, and He will exalt us. And if we are sowing pride, and I've done that. I was just the other day. I was trying to teach a woman who's in poverty, and she's in the cycle, spending every penny she has. So you need to set the first fruit aside, give it to Yahweh, put it in an account, and this and that. She goes, I just give it all away. And I go, He can't trust you with your money. You're not a good steward. She goes, He's got to be able to trust you with His money. And then I went on to say, now I got a good amount of money in His account. He trusts me. And as soon as I said that, I went. And I dropped down on my knees in front of everybody at this gym. But I go, but it's His money. I do what He tells me to do. Because just for a second there, without thinking, I could have been exalting myself. And I'm like, I'm right in front of my boss. Mm-hmm. And I fell down on my knees and without even thinking, going to go, but at least I exalt myself. But if you do repent and say, I'm sorry. Let me see here. So we get to choose each day whether to live like a beast or live like an Elohim. And what we could do is, let me see, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, it says that Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 3. Nothing by the way of faction, nothing by the vain of glory, but in lowliness of mind, accounting one another superior to yourselves, not to your own things severally looking, but to the things of others severally, the same thing esteeming yourselves, which also in Christ Yehoshua ye esteem, who in the form of Elohim, subsisting, not a thing to be seized, accounted to be equal with Elohim or Yahweh, but Himself empty, taking a servant's form, coming to be in men's likeness, and in fashion being found as a man, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient as far as death, yea, death upon the cross. Wherefore also Yahweh uplifted Him afar on high, and favored Him in the name which is above every name, in order that in the name Yehoshua every knee might bow, of things in heaven and on earth and underground, and every tongue might openly confess that Yehoshua Mashiach is Lord, unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. Satan is going to bow down before Jesus Christ, just like Haman. And he's being humiliated right now. And you can imagine, on that day, here comes a shining one, bowing down, you are the Lord. Then he'll get his. But each one of us, if you choose obedience, he'll lift you up and he'll exalt you. And then we look at all the different stories. And then we choose each day, who is going to exalt you? Will you exalt yourself? Or are you going to let Yahweh exalt you? Are you going to have the world lift you up? And here's a good test of humility. What is humility? Because this girl I talked to, she says, I give all my money away every time I get a chance. That's not humility. It's poor stewardship. And when I listen to her, because she's broke. Here's a humility test. You'd say, were Adam and Eve humble when they took the fruit and ate it? Was that a humility? No. So to disobey, is that humble? No, it's just the opposite. Humility is to obey the word. Here's an example of how humble people are. Over 50 times in Yahweh's word, He teaches us and compares death to sleep. Mm-hmm. Sleep. 50 times. Death, sleep. What does man teach? Because if we're dead and we're asleep, What do you mean they're dead? We're waiting for who? We're waiting for Yahweh. And this whole teaching was, why wait for Yahweh to exalt you when you can exalt yourself right now? Why wait to get married to a girl to have sex? Just have sex with a girl right now. Go to Las Vegas. Right?
Right.
Why don't you just move in with a girlfriend or a boyfriend? You can go do it right now. Let people do it. Exalt yourself. But what do people teach today? People don't want to be taught that you have to wait on Yahweh. They teach when you're dead, when you die, you wake up. Do dead people know more? Oh yeah, they know everything. It's just the opposite. So we look at people and go, you're not humble. A humble humility is obeying Yahweh's word. And then that's what we do. Whether people obey it or not, we just say, humility is teaching what the word says. They're asleep. Well, what does that even mean? People don't want to hear this at a funeral. I'm going to be humble and he will exalt me. And by us being humble to his word, we're actually exalting Yahweh. I'm going to close. Father, we thank you for these words. And we thank you for helping us reap humility. We thank you for reaping and for helping, putting people in our life to straighten us out, for helping us separate ourselves, especially when prosperity or health or a number of children or success at the gym or sports starts getting to our head, that we can say, if anything is going to our head to exalt ourselves, help us separate ourselves to say, because we can't handle it. We just thank you for putting people in our life and your word to help us orbit you, and that is satisfaction. And we thank you that you will satisfy us. My sons and my daughters, don't be distracted. There's so many distractions every single day. So many distractions. Focus on me. Your life doesn't have to be so complex. Just do what my word says. That's it. Read my word. Speak my word, speak in tongues, prophesy, lay hands, and say what my word says and relay what I say, and I will exalt you. If you relay what the people say, then you exalt yourself and the people exalt you. But it's your choice. Will you have the people and the churches exalt you because you teach traditions? Or will you have me exalt you in the resurrection and in this life? For Mordecai was not exalted until I exalted him. And once I exalted Mordecai, Mordecai's dream was given, and it was the seed to be preserved. I know your dreams. I know what you want. Give them to me so that I can give them to you. Hallelujah.